The following is a Castwave Studios production.
This panel is, we came up with an idea, we had pitched, the original idea for this panel was a panel we had done before in the past at another Doctor Who themed convention, which was, what if Doctor Who had been an American television series?
I'm cringing here for a second.
Right? Well, and you know what, it was the idea was running along similar lines, but not like, take out all the British-themed influences and just make it an American-themed television. Like, the TARDIS would have been a Pepsi machine. That way you wouldn't have been able to bring in revenue, especially when the show's leaner years.
We'd have to flip a car on its side, I imagine.
Yep.
There'd have to be a lot of kissing, because that happens on American television.
Exactly. So, but they decided, you know, that's been done before, because, you know, there was a BuzzFeed article. It was like, which American actors would be better Doctor Who actors? I remember saying in the panel that the fourth Doctor they chose was Gene Wilder.
100%, the only American I could ever see being the Doctor.
We went with Christopher Lloyd.
Not bad. Time-traveling Doctor in his own right.
And I literally said, I was like, well, okay, but I can honestly, I would still say Gene Wilder would have been the better choice, which is, we were like, but we didn't want to steal from that list, so that's why we went with Christopher Lloyd. But
out of curiosity, did Chevy Chase actually rank?
No.
Because I could see him sort of as the ninth Doctor, but he would definitely be a zanier one.
I'm not a big Chevy Chase fan, so...
I would have put Chevy back in the 80s doing it.
like a Peter Davis or like...
Yeah, I can see
on
that.
On the heels of Gene Wilder and yeah. Chevy Chase.
I could see that, yeah.
Okay.
So, but instead, we were asked to do something more along the lines of, you know, like, for instance, what companions would have been better off with what other Doctors? Like, oh... Would the first Doctor have flushed Mickey out of an airlock? I'm like, it's a little dark, but I could see it.
Dark, yeah.
A little dark, even for the 60s Doctors. I mean, like, but I could see it happening. Mickey is kind of annoying on occasions. And I don't think first Doctor would have put up with that for more than 30 seconds.
Eccleston season Mickey, because I think he kind of...
Oh, no, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I should reiterate. Eccleston series Mickey, not Tennant series Mickey.
Because then he turns into a badass.
Yes.
You know, a cyber...
But we also have to remember, that's not original universe Mickey. That's parallel universe Mickey.
No, actually, it was original universe Mickey. Parallel universe Mickey died, and he...
He usurped his place. Okay, yep, right. That's right. Oh, science fiction. He was so crazy.
But then he... traveled off to Paris with a friend.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, he ended up with Martha, so.
That is true. In one timeline, that happened. Oh, infinite timelines, science fiction. You're so crazy. So the question is that brought up a series of questions, like what companions would go better with other Doctors? Because I mean, obviously, you've got. Like, for instance, I think, like, Ian and Barbara. Mm-hmm. I feel like they were best with First Doctor. So I don't really know if we could move them. Like, I guess we can go chronologically speaking. But I would say, I don't think Ian and Barbara we can really move off of one. Susan, I feel like...
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Not Coral.
Okay.
No worries. So I don't think we can really move Ian and Barbara because they're quintessentially 60s British. I don't really think they can work outside the sphere. Maybe two.
And they were written specifically tailored for the older Doctor where Ian was going to be a little action hero and things like that. You know, where once you get to a zany Doctor, somebody with a lot of energy,
mm-hmm.
are they as needed? Are they like they're very grounding.
Yeah. In the sense that if we weren't worried so much about Ian and Barbara, like Barbara being, you know, the helpless captive woman that the men have to come and save.
Not always.
I mean, it was either her or Susan. But honestly, I would say Susan can be moved right. from doctor to doctor. In fact, I would honestly say get Susan to regenerate more than, like, I mean, I know she was not technically speaking a Time Lord. She was a Gallifreyan.
That we know of.
That we know, exactly, that we know of. But I'm honestly saying that I would have rather have seen Susan regenerate into another.
And this issue has been dangling out there so long that fans, every time there's someone new, you know, like a set photo for the coming season, everyone's guesses is it Susan? Is it
yeah.
Susan? You know, Bill is the new companion. I bet you she's Susan. We saw a picture of Susan on the desk. Bet you she's Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone just jumps to that conclusion
mm-hmm.
now.
And it's understandable.
Just like every female adversary is. Is that the Ronnie? Is that the Ronnie? Is that the Ronnie?
I mean, yeah, everybody was
How
like,
about it's not the Ronnie? How about it's somebody new?
How about it's the Master? Oh, wait, it is the Master? What?
Wait,
female Master? What?
Male Ronnie? Uh-huh.
It could happen. But so, yeah, First Doctor, I would still stick with Barbara and Ian. Maybe not have Susan. Maybe have Susan leave. Well, I mean, we can have Susan still leave in her departure episode and have him stick with Ian and Barbara, but I really don't think you can move them. I feel like they, like you said, they were specifically
fixed
written
to
be the.
In time?
Yeah. We'll call that a fixed point in time because they're the counterbalance to his cantankerousness.
Out of curiosity, your feelings on Jack Harkness and the Second Doctor?
I could totally see that.
Yeah, actually, that would be a lot of fun. I also think he would be an interesting foil for John Pertwee's Doctor. I think he would actually. They might knock heads a little bit
mm-hmm.
because Pertwee liked, he was an establishment figure there
mm-hmm.
working for UNIT, but he still loved to take his jabs
mm-hmm.
at sort of authoritarian figures and in Jack's case, just sort of the shoot first,
ask questions later, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could see
but
Jack.
But could be fun.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, totally. I could see him, like, if he was put with the Second Doctor. I could see it being sort of like a buddy cop sort of thing. Like, Jack's the impetuous one. Even though the Doctor's a little more goofy, he'd be the straight man, which, again, would seem out of place for his character, but at the same time, you can see he's lightening up over time. I think that could work. Like, that's definitely one I feel like from New Who could translate to Old Who very easily. So, yeah, two or three, I think that.
Do you think that you see that more readily because of the buddy dynamic that the Second Doctor had with Jamie? In other words, it's somebody plugging a male into that role.
Mm-hmm.
We already know what the Second Doctor is going to react like having another male there.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack, in a similar vein to Jamie, is that fun buddy style
mm-hmm.
male character.
Yeah, but with Jamie, he was more of a fatherly influence, I think. Like, Jamie was still headstrong, still, like, but he always was looking up to the Doctor as sort of an influence, whereas I feel
Definitely.
With Jack, I feel they would be more on a level playing field.
Okay.
I would feel like they would view each other as peers, not as mentor-mentee.
Okay.
I mean, but that's just me, though.
No, it's interesting you say it that way, because maybe because Jack, what we know about him now, having so many years of wisdom under his belt.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right, so say two and three, I could see Harkness going there. Now, four is a little more difficult because his companions always seem to be, again, counterpoints to his, because he was the sort of offbeat one, and the companions were more grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had Sarah Jane.
Very grounded.
Very grounded in reality. I mean, obviously, she took to the Doctor's adventures because it was so different from her normal life.
Yep.
Which... She took to like a duck in water, but at the same time, you could tell that certain things that the Doctor was doing, she wasn't necessarily comfortable with. Like, you know, it's like, you know, she was always sort of like, he was the mind, she was the soul.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I'm looking at it, just because she was always the more human influence, but again, he was a more, it's like a celestial who like has like, he has very little understanding of, you know, what it is like to be human. So he brings in these more grounded characters, you know, who are more, you know, hey, this is morally wrong. Why are we doing this? And he's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I wonder why I didn't think of that before.
Yeah, I think that era too was the Hinchcliffe era. There's definitely a sense of danger because it's a bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a tendency to have
more serious solutions.
Yes, and so Sarah, the reactions it gives the actors and the characters a chance to react to those dangers mm-hmm. a little differently. Where later, when you had a little more of the comedy elements with the Fourth Doctor, the dangers sometimes could be perceived to be not, I don't want to say not as dangerous, but there was a...
It seemed like they were taking a more comedic element to the seriousness yes. of what was going on as a method to sort of offset that, but then you always had the humanizing influence to be like, hey, no, seriously, this is a problem. We need to... There was always a counterbalance.
Mm.
And I feel like you could probably take like a character like, say... Again, with Fourth Doctor, it's tough because I love the Fourth Doctor. I mean, Fourth Doctor is my favorite run in Doctor Who. And I would say that my favorite companion out of that era...
Wow.
It's so tough, though.
That's why I hate picking them.
I know, and I don't... Right, it's like... I mean, because obviously Sarah Jane's great. You got Romana. What was the barbarian's name? It's eluding me right now.
Leela.
Thank you, Leela. That was the one he was married to.
No.
No, that was Romana. Second Romana. Wasn't it?
Oh, wow. Oh, the actress, you mean.
Yeah, yes, yeah, I'm yes. sorry, yeah. They weren't, no, they weren't married in series, but in real life they were married, I should specify. Yeah.
He wound up marrying Lala Wood.
Yeah, that didn't last long, though.
Like, did not last long.
No.
Matter of fact, when asked what her favorite Doctor Who monster is, she often says, Tom Baker.
Now let me ask you, based upon both your feelings on the Fourth Doctor, how weird or how fitting a fit do you think Clara would have been?
Clara?
That's interesting. Because she, I mean, obviously, that whole storyline was about her knowing the Doctor's history. So in theory, she should be able to plug into any other Doctor and work just fine.
My only... gripe with putting Clara with Fourth Doctor is that Fourth Doctor is still coming off of that arrogance from the Pertwee era where it's like, I'm so smart, you're a human, you're an idiot, you know, just like take the reins, like I'm gonna take the reins, I'm leading the situation. And we all know from watching Clara's, you know, transition as a character that I don't think she would have put up with that for very long.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'd like to see her butt heads with the Pertwee Doctor, where she comes in trying to be smarter than he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't really work very well with the, you're smarter than I am.
Honestly, I was going to say, I would say I'd put Harkness with 2. I'd put Clara with 3.
That would be some head banging going on there.
Yeah, but you know what? It was certain elements of the companions he had at that point, whenever they would butt heads, that was always the most entertaining portions of those episodes. Like, I mean, and it was, you had Joe, you had Sarah Jane, and they never listen. Because what companion never listens?
Well, that's true.
I mean, especially in those days, because Pertwee would always react, be like, are you bloody stupid or what? Comes like, come on, I know what I'm doing, and you're only getting in the way.
Well, we had a chance to see the Fourth Doctor with another Time Lord, or in this case, a Time Lady, in both Romanas. So I think that dynamic, it's easy to explore someone like you were mentioning, bringing Captain Jack into that, who is someone who's like a Time Lord, has this sort of worldliness is limiting it to only one planet. But you get my sense there that this, he had the same kind of understanding that Romana had. You know, they came from a different background than putting a human character in. So seeing, let's say, Captain Jack go look for the Key to Time with the Fourth Doctor could be a lot of fun.
Ooh, yeah, I would like to see that.
Although that Mary Tam's Romana had a tendency to be that fresh out of college kind of vibe to her, where Captain Jack would have a little more street savvy, you know, that world weary kind of character.
Mm.
But that gives us an opportunity to plug in the non-Earthling characters and to see what, you know, what that dynamic would be like, because Romana was a fellow Time Lord.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Paternoster gang, I would put them with a classic Doctor. Mm. Like maybe,
who would you put them with?
Maybe Davidson or Sylvester McCoy.
It's a good call with Davidson because he had a three companion TARDIS. So to plug, again, it's interesting what you plug in here. Mm-hmm. You take out the three and you put in our new three
in
the Paternoster gang. And it works because you have that three-character situation where the Fifth Doctor has to juggle all these different personalities.
Yeah, and Peter Davison was always great with his comedy, so I feel like there'd be a lot more comedic interaction, which, again, the terse comedic interaction you have with both Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi, I feel like it works, but I was always left wanting more. Mm. I never got enough. So I feel like if you put it with Davidson, Davidson could make that a constant thing, and I don't think I would ever get tired of that.
So which one of the three goes crashing into the Earth at the end of Earthshock then?
I think it's pretty obvious. I think it's pretty obvious, Strax.
Oh, you can't smash him into the dinosaurs like that. It's awful.
I mean, it is, but at the same time...
He's a potato!
But he'll go out in a blaze of glory, and isn't that how he always wanted to go?
That is true. That is true.
I mean, to be fair, he's genetically modified to want to go out like that, so... I feel like that's the easiest way to let him go.
Since you put it like that, he dies a glorious death.
Exactly.
All right.
I'm sorry, I'm just still picturing the baked potato and just saying, okay, is it snowing so that it has that look of sour cream? Oh. And was there like dots of vegetation to look like chives?
Yep.
And he's just whacked into the side of the earth.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're up to sixth Doctor.
Colin Baker.
Tough.
Baker is tough because... I don't think, like, he always had...
Go with Donna and watch them butt heads the entire
ooh.
Time?
Ooh. Oh. They,
I think Donna would force another regeneration.
Okay.
Because Donna is not afraid to butt heads, and if it got really bad, I wouldn't put it past her to say, you know what, let's see how the next one does.
Hmm. That's true.
Yes, hit the reset button.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think Donna would be the right choice because, yeah, they would butt heads, but it would constantly be butting heads and not in a laugh ha ha way and be like, why are they together? Why doesn't he just dump her on a planet and leave? Because Baker is the kind of doctor that he would do that. He wouldn't think twice. He literally tried. I mean, I know he was.
Go over there and wait for me. And then he takes off.
Bam, gone. No, because. Like, literally, he tried choking out Perry at the beginning of his regeneration cycle.
He wasn't feeling quite himself then.
I know, but like he never. I mean, again, he's always he's the one who's got like the biggest you know complex. You know, he's got the chip on his shoulder, and where others learned you know that these people are maybe not as small as I make them out to be. Baker never really got. I mean, again, Baker only got like a couple seasons, and then he was gone in favor of Sylvester McCoy. But it's like. He never really got over that. I felt like if he'd gotten to go longer, he might have. But where they ended up leaving him off, it was like, well, we never got any sort of closure with this.
No, definitely not. Not until the audios, at least.
You know who I might put him with? Ace.
So now, okay, because so far the dynamic has been new series, classic Doctors, but now you're intermingling with some.
Ace. Because Ace is still, I feel like he would open up more to a companion if he was molding a companion for greatness, and that's essentially what McCoy was doing for Ace in his series. So I feel like Baker could have opened up more developed more as a character. Had he had that sort of mentor-mentee relationship.
All right, well, I'm just going to throw a curveball on Sixth Doctor just for fun and put Rose in there so that she can pine for him and fall in love with him. Because, you know, Colin Baker and his coat are completely irresistible, as we know.
Okay, granted, this is kind of my two cents here. If you ignore all of Rose with 9 and you go purely off of Rose with 10... She's not compatible with any other doctor. Like, 9, it was just happenstance of that timing that made that work. Beyond that, the kind of person Rose is, I don't see working very well with any other doctor.
Well, and actually, when you really go back and look at it, with 9, there is legitimately no reason why she would fall in love with Nine. Because really, she only really fell in love with him because it was more he offered an escapism from her dreary life on Earth.
Yeah.
But as she continued on with him, she saw that he was cold, he was unfeeling. Because obviously, if you had just murdered two entire species, one of them being your own people, I think you'd be pretty grumpy too. But at the same time, it's just like, eventually he warmed to her, and that whole scenario turned into a romance, which
was... And of course it didn't hurt that it was David Tennant.
Well, yes, because he's a very pretty boy. He's a very pretty boy. But, yeah, again, moving her to Baker, I feel like there is no real way to... She might pine for him, but it would be turning it into sort of the same situation with Tennant and Martha, is that he acknowledges the fact that she pines for him, but he is not interested. Mm. And then why would Rose stick around then? Because, you know, there's always a will they, won't they with Christopher Eccleston, mm-hmm, and Rose. There's always the will they, won't they, because he has similar feelings, but his character won't be able to open up as easily because of what he's just gone through.
Yeah.
And, like, Ten is barely just able to do it by the very last appearance of Rose during her original run.
But I also think during that transition from 9 to 10, Tennant's doctor... Tennant plays his doctor as the... having met Rose as a companion, I'm now excited to see the universe again.
Yeah.
That's sort of where the arc is going from 9 to 10. So... It was the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think Rose could work for Baker because, again, okay, it would turn it into a different situation.
I was just purely doing fun of having to
you know who I would put
on
Rose
the beach
with?
Be with someone in that garish coat.
Well, no, you know who I would put Rose with, though? I'd put her with Paul McGann. Because Grace was... She was just one... It was a throwaway. You know what I mean? It was just like, why?
I love the Grace character.
I like her character. I just wish, because if it had backdoored in to an actual series, which was always the original intent of the Doctor Who film, that I feel like we could have gotten more for Grace, but I feel like Rose's character arc, I feel, would fit better if McGann had gotten a series. She could have easily synced into that, because again... Nine's character is really just an extension of Eighth Doctor, this is before War Doctor showed up, essentially they were using stories that they were going to use for Eighth Doctor, they just had to redo them just because obviously we were moving 10 years into the future and they've been gone for a while. But I mean, it was all things that were going to happen at one point, it's just... Different person, different personality.
So, since you mentioned the War Doctor, and we have a completely open canvas on that, who will we put with the War Doctor?
Ooh, okay.
Because remember,
that's a tough one.
We're in this really desperate situation, and while that Doctor is,
and it's a darker Doctor.
I air quoting on screen, you know. So it's a darker Doctor.
It's a darker Doctor. So
in the toughest of times, in his most desperate hours.
Okay, so obviously a more... You know who I could see?
Go.
Brigadier Lethbridge-Stewart.
You're putting in the warrior.
It makes the most sense.
I was going to say Leela. Same.
Also
reason.
Good. I mean, you could do Jamie. You could do...
Would die for the Doctor.
You could do all three of them, really. You could do a whole squad and just make it like...
The all-star squad.
Ooh. Oh, yes. I want that. I want that right now. I mean, John Hurt, we don't have anymore. But I would like... If that had been a big finish and he had gotten, like, all three of them together, sign me up.
Yeah, he says, I need my fight. Well... Leela, we could write in quickly because she was on Gallifrey, so we could say right off the bat during the Time War there she was anyway. Same as in the audios with the second Romana. You can always throw Captain Jack in that mix as well.
Also true.
Up for a fight.
I was actually thinking of the combination of Captain Jack and River Song in that particular scenario.
Yeah, two characters that would die for the Doctor.
Yeah, also
that's
good.
Really, what it comes down to. And I feel the same way about Jamie. I can't say that with all the characters, but
Jamie was totally loyal to the Second Doctor. I don't see that loyalty wavering just because it's a different version of the same Time Lord.
Yeah, when the Doctor says I'm in my toughest spot right now and I need your help, I think he would come riding to
mm-hmm.
us. I think as fans we would say just about any character would, but there are some we know for certain.
Yes.
You know, and that's one of them.
Alright, so now we come to the New Who Doctors.
Characters that would not come in riding to the rescue would be Dodo, for example, because the First Doctor dumped her on Earth and never bothered to ask what happened to her.
Yep.
Or Adric, who the Doctor allowed to smash into the Earth.
Or Adam.
Right, Adam might not come to the rescue. We're just having some fun throwing some names out there.
Alright, so Ninth Doctor. Okay, yes. Ninth Doctor... This is just me saying this because I always felt like the Ninth Doctor...
So now we're flipping it, right? We're going to put some classic companions.
K-9.
Mm.
Man and his dog.
Man and his dog, yeah.
I mean, because the thing is like Nine...
Because he's kind of a loner?
He's a loner, but he knows he needs help, but obviously he doesn't want to recruit a human because of what's happened in the past, so why not recruit K-9 then? I mean, you can still introduce K-9 back in the classic run of like them, but say he... Because K-9 stays back with Leela back on Gallifrey.
Yep.
So why doesn't... Like, he say he finds like an old broken down version of K-9, and K-9 just becomes the sole companion for Christopher Eccleston's run.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah, kind of like we saw with Handles and the 11th Doctor.
Yep.
In those sort of dark hours. Just someone that will talk to him so he's not completely alone.
Play him, beat him at chess.
I mean, it's interesting, too, because you see the 11th Doctor project this personality onto this mm-hmm. thing that's really just Siri mm-hmm. when you think about
exactly,
it. Exactly,
right?
Yeah. But he actually misses Handles when
he's gone.
When
yeah.
He's gone.
Okay, so I'd say K-9. What about
all
you?
Right.
What about you?
You've made a strong case. I think that's the point.
I would love to see that because I love K-9 as a character, and maybe it's because he was so sparingly used. Like, he was used in Fourth Doctor's run, then wasn't seen again until 10th. But I feel like, especially with Eccleston, he's so alone.
And in the 21st century now, just strictly as a television making. Comment on this is that back in the 70s when K-9 was first on, it was a remote control prop.
Yeah.
Now with the special effects that we have and just the general robotic technology we have, he wouldn't be a menace to a production team anymore, you know?
Nope.
Where it's like, geez, how are we going to get him to do the climb up the hill or on the rocks or near the water?
Yeah, no, and I remember that when we remember with the Daleks, like, hey, they can't get upstairs. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Now the ability, K-9 can have the aspect that he's always had, that
yep.
of a robot dog.
Exactly.
But we could, as a television show, the character can do whatever you want.
Exactly, which is, yeah, yay technology.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, now here's where it gets difficult, because 10 had so many companions. It would be difficult to just try... I would say... You know what I would say? I would say give him one of his companions, but have him stay on longer. I would say put... If we're going to put Susan in, put Susan back into the mix as a different regeneration with 10.
Well, I'm saving my Susan... Until we get to 12. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Because I know Capaldi really, really wants... I mean, we're seeing hints of it already in the current season.
Mm-hmm.
And how much Capaldi wants to thread that.
I mean, I want that because I feel like Susan really needs... I mean, because I love that they always left that so open-ended that she would come back at some point. Yeah, maybe not the same character, but I like feel like they could have brought her... I mean, and they have brought her back in Big Finish Productions
Big Finish,
and in the novels... But they never brought her back on the TV show, which I always thought was just such a wasted opportunity.
There have been
multiple times where they could have done it and could have done it great.
I think with the new producer and new doctor coming in what's going to be the Chibnall era, I think if there's any opportunity to do it, it's right now. Moffat's at the height of his game. Capaldi knows that Moffat knows he's leaving. Capaldi knows he's leaving. It's like, well, you know what? We've got old school Cybermen being thrown in the mix and whatever. This is our last hurrah. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And then they're out the door, and the new producer and the new doctor will take over mm-hmm. and just hit the reset button. And they're going to want to establish themselves. And you know what happens when new people come in? They establish their own game first before touching on the retro callbacks and the throwbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And
all this kind of yep.
So all once right. we get that, this is our last chance to get it for a while, because I think when the new yeah. person comes in, with the exception maybe of the Daleks, who just everybody seems to want to meet right from
well, I mean, the yeah, it's they're the quintessential Doctor Who villain. And I feel that like you could throw them with any Doctor, and the Doctor it would work. All right, so
we're on
10. I personally would say he has Susan, but you also introduce Jenny for a longer period of time, not just man. Have her die off at once, but then have some tension between Susan, who is his granddaughter, and Jenny, who is his actual daughter. I know she's a clone, but still, there's tension. They butt heads. And then, you know, obviously he's trying to be like the balance between the two. Saying,
well, we turn it into a sitcom where like
it would be a little Three's Company-esque.
We throw two characters.
Knock on our door. Oh my god! And they're a blonde and a brunette. Oh my god!
Honestly, if you're doing spinoffs, what I'd like to see is Jenny, Martha, Clara, and I'm forgetting the name of the immortal because her name kept changing.
A Shielder.
Basically flying around the universe in the diner.
I would totally want to watch that too.
With an occasional appearance of Captain Jack,
who's just like, who do I hit on first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one of you? Yes.
Like he walks in and is like, I must have died and gone to heaven. Everyone just shrugs like, oh god.
Yeah, everyone. Right, there'd be a lot of hands on foreheads.
Oh boy. Yeah. I could imagine that. Oh, I would love that. Okay, so...
All right, here we go.
So, yeah, so 10, I would personally go with Jenny, and I would go with Susan, create that tension there. We can honestly say Susan goes off on her own, but I think he would keep Jenny until the end of the series, and then you could have Jenny die off and then end up regenerating and then coming back later.
All right, I'll throw a quick curveball in on this discussion.
All right, let's go.
The wonderful Carol Ann Ford reprises her role, comes back as Susan for this story.
Okay.
But at the end of the story, she regenerates.
So who, she dies, say, instead of Jenny does.
Who takes over the role as Susan in our fictitious 10th Doctor Susan dynamic?
Okay. So the question is, do we follow what the 10th Doctor was doing at the time, which was the Doctor was getting progressively younger, so do we follow the same route, and since it's Carol Ann Ford, have her go young, or have her stay a similar age, maybe put like somewhere in between, so say like 30s, 40s, instead of teens, 20s?
It's modern television, and it seemed that a little of this romance was the Tennant era sort of thing, so...
Okay, here's who I would put. I know it wouldn't work because she's an American actress, but her attitude would be so blasé. Like, I feel like if Susan had regenerated, she would regenerate young. Like, she would go back to her teenager form, but again, not the 60s-era teenager. So, like, say, the 2000s-era teenager. So, rebellious, cocksure, headstrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
Because she would do nothing but ignore the Doctor, go do her own thing. And again, notes of Susan, but it would be in such a bitter matter. Like she would just like not care. She would just like counterman the Doctor just to do it.
Now, granted, I don't know early Who that well, but my first instinct when you said an American actress, just because it would be an interesting foil against Tennant, was Betty White.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so go older. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Especially because that would completely change the dynamic between the two. And a good chunk of the show would just be trying to figure out
exactly,
how
yeah.
this is going to work.
Yeah, because Betty White, again, Betty White is great at improvisational comedy. So I feel like she would be a card, and it would be great. It would make for some magic on screen. I would totally watch that.
Well, I'm going with Olivia Colman And it's actually the prequel story to Broadchurch then. As David Tennant and Olivia Colman meet up in Doctor Who and then suddenly discover a body on the beach.
Oh, and so they assimilate new identities, and that's where we end Doctor Who, and Doctor Who becomes Broadchurch.
You know, if Breaking Bad could be the prequel to Walking Dead, then damn it, Doctor Who could be the prequel.
I could see that, though, because, you know, again, BBC properties, they could follow into timelines. They could rewrite it however they want.
Chris Chibnall takes over as producer the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so that... All right, so say we don't do that. On the off chance we don't do that, so we do move on to 11.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, so 11, okay.
11 and a class.
I can tell you who I would think of immediately.
Go.
Okay.
Sarah Jane.
Yes. Because we don't have Sarah... Because, again, we've moved Sarah Jane out from 3-4, but Sarah Jane is still such a humanizing factor. And, again, we're coming off of Matt Smith's... Again, Matt Smith is not necessarily, say, as emo as, say, Eccleston or Tennant were. And, again, we don't have him with the Pawns.
He's the most naturally alien since Tom Baker. So it makes good sense. In other words, Tom Baker, the person, is as eccentric as Tom Baker, the doctor.
Right.
And almost the same can be said for Matt Smith. Matt Smith has that eccentricity is natural to him.
He's eccentric. I mean, he's so...
Obviously, he's playing a part. He's amping it up a little bit.
But also...
But Matt the Man is a dynamic person.
Yeah, no, and Matt Smith also, I mean, again... Not, say, a generally what you would consider a handsome man. He's not ugly by any sense of the imagination. But he's, like, you know, big ears, nose, you know. It's really skinny. Like, uncomfortably skinny. Like, even skinnier than Tennant, even though he points out Tennant's the skinny one. I'm like, no. Have you seen yourself?
It's only actually the size of his skull that makes it seem that way.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Close to the same size.
Yeah, it's just... But I look at it, I'm like, you know, I would honestly say... And I would agree with you. I feel like... Out of all the doctors, Smith is kind of like the
most... So from the plug-in point of view, we know how Sarah Jane would react to a doctor like that. The doctor who is eccentric and
that's,
you know,
right. So she could plug in
that
fairly easily.
Energy. Yeah.
And obviously, we also would be good because I feel like Sarah Jane, there was always that sort of with... When they came back... And put Sarah Jane in with 10. There was always this unrequited romantic feelings between her and 4. I never really got that. Am I just wrong? I always felt like it was more.
It was a different time in the show. So
maybe it just didn't come off that way.
If there were undercurrents, it was deliberately undercurrent. You know what I mean? There was never a. It was a lot. It was up to the audience to read into that. And if you wanted to read into it, it was there for you. And if you didn't, as a kid watching the show, one of the things that attracted me to Doctor Who was that there wasn't, unlike American television, there wasn't always the male and female kissing at the end of every episode kind of thing, which is what made it refreshing to me watching Doctor Who.
So I can see Sarah Jane Smith being put in with 11. And having them follow a similar romantic dynamic that him and Clara showed towards the end of his run.
Okay.
That's just me, though, because it could start as friends, but it could blossom into a romance. Because, again, remember, we don't have Rose with 9 anymore, nor do we have her with 10. So there's no real major romantic character, which was the single unifying event between 9 and 10. And then 11 sort of had that with Clara... But then again, he then turned into 12. Complete personality shift.
Okay.
And he was like, I'm not your boyfriend. And she's like, I know. She was like, because you could tell she was genuinely hurt when he said that because she knew 11. She knew her. There was something between her and 11. I mean, again, stop me if I'm wrong. I'm just saying it really did seem like that to me. Like, it was... I'm feeling that you could do that with Sarah Jane. Start them as friends as they started as friends. I mean, again, you wouldn't have the same sort of situation. Like, you wouldn't be finding duplicates of Sarah Jane across different timelines.
That would be cool, though.
It would.
I would much rather see
Sarah Jane than Clara, yeah.
Possible girl. Then, oh, and I think it's.
I could. Oh, you know what?
Strong bias only in that Sarah Jane is an established beloved character already.
Yeah.
Where Clara was at the time was a brand new character that was suddenly supposed to be so super important.
Yeah, and that was
your importance needs to be earned.
Exactly.
I don't know. I would have gone with Martha going across all timelines. I kind of could qualify her as the most competent because she was the one that the doctor could actually trust to leave on her own for months at a time and still look after his interests.
But that's the thing. So that's why I would put Martha with 12.
12? The thing is, I don't think Martha would have put up with 12.
And that's the honestly the thing is that she wouldn't have stayed for the whole run. She might have stayed till maybe series 10. And then bailed, and just been like, "Look, you need to you have problems. You need to get your shit in order." Because that's always the thing. It's like 12. Capaldi's doctor is just again. He's going back to the Colin Baker where he's so overly confident and he's so sure that what he's doing is correct. And it's only when something he doesn't change his tune until literally something has to be pointed out to him. Like he hated Danny Pink because Danny Pink was a soldier. And I'm just like, I mean, again, I know you are not necessarily, you remain similar traits of the War Doctor, but you retain the knowledge that you were once the War Doctor and that you were a soldier.
Maybe he's hating what he sees in himself.
And that's entirely true, but then it shows, Danny's like, he cares more for Clara than he does for himself. And then the doctor changes his tune. It's only after Danny has died, turned into a Cyberman, and, is, literally, the only one left that can do anything. It always really bothered me, because, it's just like, I want to love Capaldi's doctor. I like a lot of elements about Capaldi's doctor, but it's always that was my yeah.
He's
he,
getting around.
The well, no, he's he is a dick, but he
not
is,
in the current season though.
In the current season, I think he's still suffering from the loss of Clara. He remembers enough to know that how much he's lost, but not who she was, and that's making him
there's a void inside of himself.
Yeah, and he's basically using other people to substitute for that.
Yeah, I know, and it's.
And at the risk of this, of our discussion turning into a discussion of the current season, I really love the current dynamic, this season 10 dynamic of the professor and the student.
Right, it's the mentor-mentee relationship that has worked so well in previous seasons. But again, now it's Capaldi doing it, and Capaldi's really kind of falling into that dynamic much better than, the jilted lover dynamic he had with Clara,
And although I mentioned Susan as a fantasy story element, as the current role of him being a professor, how about recapping this all the way back to the start of our conversation? What if Ian and Barbara joined him as academics? This is shamelessly playing to the bookworm audience.
No, but to be honest, I know I said at the beginning of this that Ian and Barbara could not work outside of that, but
if they were just going for exploration,
no, because now that I think about it, if you really think about it, if you look at all the Doctor's personalities, who does 12 closest resemble?
Hartnell.
One,
yeah.
Hartnell, because he is so crabby, so cantankerous. It's like these humans—they know nothing. Why do you know nothing? And why do you bother me with everything?
Yeah.
And it's okay, so I didn't think of that at first, but that actually say you could have Martha, say in series 9, and Martha leaves, and then say Ian and Barbara are current teachers, because obviously at some point, for instance, he could teach the teachers, and then the teachers could teach others, and that's the whole idea. Maybe he could eventually create, a society of better thinking people, blah 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 blah. I mean, who knows?
The Doctor's influence.
Exactly.
One of the core elements of the show is the Doctor making the people around him better.
Exactly, but instead of it just being the core people that he interacts with on a fairly regular basis, what if he uses that opportunity to take professors, people who are already, you know, revered as teachers, mm-hmm.
and gives them the knowledge so that they in turn can then go out and tell everyone in the world about all these wonderful things that the doctor has done in the past and will do for them in the future. What if that the greatest gift the doctor ever gave the world is that he was able to show humans to teach each other that eventually they then turned into the spacefaring society that he knows they have the potential to be. I always thought that would be an amazing way to cap off Doctor Who. And I see here we're over on our time, so I appreciate everybody coming out to this panel. I want to thank Ken Deep of L.I. Who for joining me for this panel. If you ever want to check out his convention, it's www.longislanddoctorwho.com. And thank you so much for coming to The Companion Game. This panel was recorded live on location at BoroughCon 2017 at St. John's University in Queens, New York.